Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the live issues program's post-episode recaps. On live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
Sergeant Frog, bringing about a fine blend of shyness and heroics as Nodoka in Negima, being a classic tsundere as Minami in Bakken Test, and playing a cute biker girl with an extraterrestrial sequin as Chiaya in The Rolling Girls. When she takes on a role, she adds a bit of her talent and magic to not only make these characters her own, but somehow manages to even one-up the original Japanese seiyu from time to time. I am very happy to welcome to One-on-One, Miss Leia Clark. Welcome to One-on-One. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you for that awesome intro.
You're welcome. So how is New Hampshire and Nutter Anime Convention treating you?
New Hampshire is fantastic. I'm very excited about the fall and getting to see what that's like, because we don't have that in Texas. We have spring, summer, and oh my god, get me out of here. Those are our seasons. So yeah, it's been great. And AAC has also been wonderful. The fans are really fun, and like, I love the cosplay. They just seemed very dedicated, and the staff is on point. It's been great.
So, you were talking about the weather, so you're really enjoying, like, the foliage and checking out just the colors of New Hampshire.
Yes, I feel like I probably look so silly because I see a red leaf, and I'm like, oh, yes, that's my event for the day. So, yeah.
Now, I usually like to ask this with all voice actors I interview, and I know it's a question probably everybody asks, but how'd you get your start?
That is a question everybody asks. You're so right. How did I get my start? I got my start in theater because I was doing a show called Godspell.
Ah, one of my favorites.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So day by day, oh dear Lord, the things I pray.
I've seen like three times. You. Have you really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so then you know that the actors play multiple characters and beings and sometimes animals and stuff. So it was during that show that I kind of figured out that in order to morph into different characters, I also had to choose a different voice, because in theater, a lot of it is, you can't really tell who's speaking, you know? It's like all great big maps, so I had to define my voice with my character. So I learned how to do that, and then the director of it was Jakey Cabe, who was a voice actor for Yu Yu Hakusho and Dragon Ball Z, and he was one of the original Funimation actors, so he would go record up there all the time. And he just happened to talk to us about it, just mentioned it in passing that that's what he was doing. And so I just said, oh my gosh, I want to do that. Will you take me to an audition? And he said yes. And that was back when Funimation was like, wee baby. And you could actually say, hey, take me to your audition. Somebody could get in. Yeah. So that's how I got started. And I auditioned for, I think the first audition was for Spiral.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, a long time ago. So I auditioned for Spiral. I didn't get it, but then I got into Case Closed because they were, you know, recording that all the time, and they needed like nobody number five. So I was Girl B in several episodes, and yeah, got my start that way.
Now you actually play a huge role in getting a lot of my friends into anime, because it has a lot to do with your portrayal as Fuyuki in Sergeant Frog. Oh, yeah. I kid you not, they're. It's like clockwork. There is a line you say in episode 2, and it is that exact moment my friends become fans of the show. And I want to ask, can you guess what that line might be?
You're talking about like the one I recorded in 2009? No, I don't know what it is. I don't know. But it probably sounds like this.
It's Charles Manson gets a commune and I get zilch. That's fair. kid you not. It's like right.
I remember that now that you said that.
You've seen Zootopia. You know, like, that part where Nick tells the sloth the joke, and you see that sloth, like, smile so slowly? Yeah. That's exactly how all my friends react when that joke is said in the
really?
Show. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So, like, I've asked this specific question to Todd and Brina, but with the style of Sergeant Frog, with the way you guys did the script, did you ever feel like you were beating Seth MacFarlane at his own game?
Yeah, sometimes. But I feel like a lot of that credit goes to the writers who did it. I think Jamie Markey was doing one of them, and Jared Hedges. They did a really, really good job at punching up that dialogue and giving us some awesome zingers. I just had to say it, so.
Well, you brought it more to life, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's one of those shows that sounds like you had a lot of fun dubbing, and I know quite a lot of folks are still poking at Funimation. Come on, give us season 4. Would you say that working on a comedy like Sergeant Frog is the most fun you have in a recording booth, or is there another type of show or genre where you find, like, okay, this is where I can truly have a blast at this role?
Actually, no, Sergeant Frog was probably it. I mean, that was probably the most fun I've ever had. I looked forward to it every time, even if it... Because there are sometimes I'll have sessions that are 5 hours long, and I'm like, no. But if it's like a five-hour Sergeant Frog session, that was great. Because Joel was so great at directing, and the writing was always on point. We didn't have a whole lot of technical issues in the booth. We just could just go and have fun.
That's always good to hear.
Yeah.
So... The very first time, going a little bit back, the very first time I think I heard your voice when you played student number 27, Nodaka, in Negima many years ago.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of people, myself included, kind of looked at Negima and said, like, it's kind of like a harem version of Harry Potter in some way, shape, or form.
That's totally what that is.
Yeah, so, I know we recorded a while back, but when you were doing the role as Nodaka, did you have to, like, have this sort of, or did you try to do a Hogwarts mentality, or did you try to do, like, it in a different aspect?
I just get really actory when I do stuff like that, so I just try to imagine what it would be like to have a crush on somebody that I didn't know how to talk to. So, and be extremely shy and nervous about everything.
Mm.
Yeah. But I love the magical element of it, though. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, was there much of a change in how you voiced her or how you portrayed her when you went from the first Negima series, which was a comedy but had some serious aspects of it, and then you did, like, Negima, which is, like, question mark of... I don't know how to... Negima?
Yeah.
Was there much of a change in how you portrayed her from that part to that one?
No, not really. But I did notice the writing changed and that she changed a little bit. So I feel like she was a little bit more confident in the second one, which is not to say much because she's still not.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I didn't... changed my view of her. She was a little goofier, which I had more fun with. So, like, that scene where I'm imitating Negi and, you know, I'm doing, like, a shadow puppet thing. So,
yeah.
That was kind of fun.
Now, I want to talk about a series that I feel deserves a lot more love, and that is Princess Jellyfish, which is one of those shows that, where many times I say, like, this is better than the writing that I see on most American TV shows. And I know you played the housemate Gigi, who was, you know, she had that thing about her. The
quirkiness.
That quirkiness. Can you go a little bit into that, to some details on how you can portray a character like Gigi? Or how you did portray a character like Gigi?
Well, the direction was, it's just Nodaka at 35. So that's kind of where I went with that. Because it was basically the same thing. I mean, just like this introverted, nervous person with weird crushes on, like, 70-year-old dudes.
Yeah. So. It is a weird character. But
it's weird.
But that's what I love about Princess Jellyfish, which there was just such an eclectic of weird characters just trying to survive in a normal world.
Yeah, I really liked that about it, too. I thought that it was great that they didn't have, like, the stereotypical, like, you know, 12-year-old girls running around with short skirts and, you know, not everyone's, like, fawning after some nervous dude. It was just great. They had creative characters, like, real... It's like they researched, like, people that they knew and put them in there.
Right, exactly.
And the character design was so refreshing.
I love the animation in that show. There's just real beauty to it. Even when you look at like the female characters, male characters, even the worlds that they are in, it's just such a gorgeous show.
It really is. It's very interesting. Mm.
Now, moving on to another show that I think is probably one of my favorites of the last 10 years, Spice and Wolf, where you played Nora the Shepherd. And what I love about Spice and Wolf is it has this real Shakespearean theatrical tone to this show, which came up very well in the dub. So was Spice and Wolf one of those series where you had to go back to the theatrical part in your life and try to pull that back and put that into Nora?
I wish. I mean, it was kind of, you know, the language of it was different. So, yeah, I mean, the delivery of it and the portrayal of something that's so, you know, old world style.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of like going back and probably like you would approach a Shakespearean show. Just something that it's still an honest character, but she just uses language that we're not all that familiar with.
Right. Because I feel like the best way to like... The reason why I look at it in like such a theatrical way is I want to call it episode zero of like season two. Because the way that it's set up, it feels like it's like one of those plays where it's just two people or three people just chatting. And I love that whole aspect of the series. And I felt like you did a great job with that in the character of Nora.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I want to actually talk to you about one of my other favorite roles of yours, and that is of Aerie from School Rumble. And what I loved was how you went from two different personalities between, like, the rich, like, she's the rich girl, but then you find out that she has, like, this sort of invertedness to herself. Like, was there much of a challenge when you had to play a character with such a dual personality?
I don't know if it was so much of a challenge as just, like, a joy, like, a delight to see somebody that's so, a couple, you know, dimensional, like, different, she has different... They did a lot of really good work with the character arc of her. I like when they justify someone's outer personality with, like, an inner personality. So it's like if somebody's super passionate about something and driven, then they're probably going to come off as, you know, snooty or bitchy or whatever. But no, but then we get to see the side that, you know...
She really liked.
Yeah, that she really liked. So, yeah, she's... snooty or whatever, but I think it's more of just a front, just a confidence, and just something that is obviously a product of how she's been brought up and raised. And,
right. But it's almost like a shield in some way.
Yeah. I mean, but she's human, and I like that they decided to bring that out and show us that. So it made it easier, actually, to play, because we can all relate to that.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
Now, recently, as mentioned in the intro, you took on the role of Chiaia in The Rolling Girls. Now, as you were dubbing the series, I think it was revealed maybe like 4 or 5 episodes into the show that she was a UFO. Now, was this something that you personally knew was going to happen when you dove into this role? Or was it something that kind of took you by surprise?
I had no idea. I mean... I think that's what's so interesting about the broadcast dubs now at Funimation is that we don't know. And a lot of times the directors don't even know. All they know is about 1 or 2 episodes into it. Because the old way of recording is you would watch the entire series and then go into record. Well, now we don't have that. So, no, I had no idea. I was just told there's something weird about your character. So just know that.
Now, did that change the way of portraying her as you went along with the dub?
A little bit, yeah. Once I knew that she was an alien, it made more sense to, you know, her naivete. It wasn't really naive. It was just, she just didn't know. She was not from this world. Yeah. But it helped the direction of saying there's something weird about her character. Because I think if I didn't hear that, I probably would just played her as, like, some sweet, shy, awkward girl.
Right, exactly. Now, for me, what initially drew me into The Rolling Girls was its usage of music by the legendary Japanese punk band of Blue Hearts. As you can see, I host the J-pop, an alternative radio show. And Blue Hearts was a band that really got me into like the punk scene of Japan. And I'm curious if you were either familiar with this Japanese punk band before you started recording the show, or if you were even familiar with any Japanese bands while you were, even before or afterwards.
I can't say I'm familiar with them, but I mean, I do hear stuff, you know, recording for an anime company. We do hear a lot of things, but and I was told that that was a popular band that, you know, did the bumpers for the show.
Right, very popular, like way back when, like late 80s, early 90s. They sadly disbanded back in like the late 90s. They were like, they were seen as the Clash of Japan.
Oh, cool.
So a lot of people really looked up to them. They're definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
Out of all the characters that you have portrayed in the past, who do you relate to the most and why?
I have to say probably Suzuka, because of she's just a character that is driven and passionate about a sport specifically. And for me, it's like theatrical elements and acting and craft and creating. And specifically like when I do theater shows, I'm very intense about it. Like I'm not one of the actors that likes to goof around backstage. Like I like to stay in character and study. And like if my character is going off stage, I like to think about like, well, what could she be doing? And I'll just go zone out in a hole and just be really weird and get into that mentality. So I get really upset if someone tries to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of how Suzuka is, but it's more about like her sports and her, you know, she just wants to be the best at what she does. So she comes off as, I guess, you know, hard to read or bitchy or whatever, but she's not. She's just passionate.
You know, there is a sequel series that's coming out, I think, in January. So fingers crossed that that character shows up and maybe get to play her again.
That would be so much fun. I hope so.
All right. So the final question, this is something I like to ask all the voice actors and actresses. It's a little bit of a tough question, but it's a little bit of a fun one, too. Okay. And you're actually, that guy over there is the guy, Derek, is the one who kind of created this question. So he's kind of a bit to blame. A variation of something that he created many years ago.
Oh, no.
So it's called Three Character Island. Okay. The question is, if you found yourself stuck on a deserted island, which three characters that you yourself have portrayed in the past would you like to have with you on this island to keep you sane into your imminent rescue, and why?
Sane. Oh my gosh. Let's see. Well, I think Homura from Sekire, just because, I mean, it'll keep me safe.
Yep.
I mean, that's just a crazy, you know, you want that person fighting your battles for you. Let's see. Someone that I need someone to hang out with and talk to. So probably Suzuka. She's cool. And then, let's see, a third person, someone who cooks, who would that be? I don't know. Do I have a character that cooks anywhere? Gosh, I need someone that, Rin from Toriko.
Okay.
Well, just, she must have learned something from him, so she's got some tricks up her sleeve.
Probably. Leia, thank you so much for joining me here on One on One. If you have anything to shamelessly plug, go right ahead.
Shamelessly plug? Okay, so Sunny Strait is directing a show that I can't say, but look out for it because it's going to be my new favorite character ever.
Awesome. Thank you again, and hope you've enjoyed the rest of another anime convention.
I will. Thank you.
You're welcome.